VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us for a very important Crosstalk program today on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, voting irregularities have surfaced in states across the nation. Allegations of voter fraud have come from whistleblowers from within several states. Recounts will begin in some areas. Lawsuits have been filed in places like Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. And amidst all of this, the media, yes, the media rushed forward to announce that Joe Biden is the winner and now President-elect Biden. But it's not the media that determines the presidency. It's the electors. And as of this date, none of these votes have been certified. None of the states are certified votes. The Trump campaign said, we are not backing down. Joining us today, we welcome constitutional attorney, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Matt, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Jim.
Matt, never before have we seen such an election chaos and such a multiplicity of states. I mean, we remember what happened with Florida and the hanging chads, but this is something President Trump actually warned about some time ago, but something we've never seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, I was involved very much in the Florida election 20 years ago. We litigated for literally five straight weeks, nonstop, 7 days a week. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision on December the 12th. So that's how long it took to get all of that resolved. But that was one state, and it was only a few counties within the state. Seminole County was one of those right here near the central part of Florida, and then southern Florida. But now we have all these different counties, and it's not just whether or not some of these votes, and back then it was like 527 or under 600 votes that were at issue. Now we're talking about massive vote swings. If you go back to November the 3rd, when the polls closed in Pennsylvania, President Trump was up by 400,000 votes. Now, it doesn't really matter how many votes were not counted at that point. You can't make up a 400,000 vote deficit under any circumstances. That would be just impossible. That would mean that you'd have to get 400,000 votes just to zero it out and then start having the battle as to who ultimately gets the most votes. That just is statistically impossible. And yet now to see that Pennsylvania, Biden is ahead by about, 40,000 votes or so, that just is statistically impossible. But, you know, we have an attorney on the ground right now in Pennsylvania, and on Saturday night, his assignment was from 4 p.m. to midnight to go to the Philadelphia place where the votes are being counted. It's a convention center. Even though his name's on the authorized list as an observer for the campaign to just make sure the votes are counted, and even though there's a state court order, Jim, ordering the presence of these individuals having the right to be there so that there's one for every person counting the votes. And they have to be, they can be within 6 feet, up to 6 feet for each person. And the reason is they need to be able to see the signatures and make sure that the votes are properly counted and tallied. And yet, despite all of that, despite the fact that he's attorney, despite the fact that there's a court order and that he's on the authorized list, they would not allow him in. We have a photograph of him more than 100 feet away looking in through a door. Couldn't even get into the main area.
My.
Why are they wanting to keep people away? And there was not a single person from the Trump or the Republican campaign that they were allowing in to watch these votes as they were counted. And that continued as of Saturday night and continues even till today.
We're going to look further into Pennsylvania. But, Matt, I believe it's also important we underscore it is not the media that determines a president.
No, it's not the media. And if you go back to 2000, the media was tipping for Al Gore. If you go back before that, remember the Dewey versus Truman race, they ultimately printed that Dewey won the presidency. Well, lo and behold, Truman won the presidency, and Gore didn't win the presidency in 2000. It was Bush. The media does not have that authority to tell us who the candidate elect is or the president-elect is. In fact, even when we have the final votes, those are not certified until later in the year. And that certification is weeks away.
And especially amidst all that's taking place, the recounts, the lawsuits, and so forth. I mean, it is the media that has the media that has been so anti-Trump throughout. 90-some percent of the news stories negative on President Donald Trump. We have seen the social media sites and those internet sites that have constantly pushed pro-Biden, anti-Trump articles forward to people's social media doing the same. And despite all that, we have the media that has crowned President-elect Joe Biden now as being President-elect, and nothing's been certified. Matt, I know there's just a whole lot of concern regarding even the voter software used. I mean, software that has connections to many swing states, and come to find out, we saw on was on Fox News yesterday that the allegation that Pelosi's chief of staff is also chief executive of the Dominion ballot counting systems.
Yeah, it's really a problem. I think it's very, going back to the declaring prematurely the candidate and who's the elect, the media as well as Joe Biden, that is dangerous and it is irresponsible. And when they do that in the midst of many of these states going through recounts and audits. Remember, many of these states, including Pennsylvania, is controlled at the legislative level by Republicans, and Georgia the same way. So they're already asking. I've got a letter here from the Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania. He's already requesting an audit. That is a thorough overview of every one of the votes. That means you can't declare anybody who's won Pennsylvania. You also have litigation in state court. You have litigation that's being filed right now in federal court in Pennsylvania. You've got litigation in these other states. You've got votes still being counted. Even today as we speak,
yes, yes.
Votes are still being counted. And then we have a case pending at the U.S. Supreme Court as well. With all of that, you cannot declare, and to do that is dangerous and irresponsible. And then on top of this, you've got this voter, very significant voter malfunctioning with this software. And, you know, what we have here is in a county in Pennsylvania, that in fact happened. 6,000 votes with the software was ultimately attributed to Biden, and they have to be now readjusted for President Trump. And that's because of Antrim County using that kind of software that is now used, as you mentioned, in a number of these swing states.
Yeah. Matt, Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch said this. He said, President Trump won Tuesday according to federal election law, that extending the vote count past Election Day is illegal. What's your response?
No, I think he's right. If you go back to Election Day, Trump actually decimated the presidential race by roughly 60-40% across the country, and it was a huge victory. You cannot extend voting beyond that time, and what Pennsylvania's Supreme Court did is illegally do that. Now, that's why the Supreme Court has said those votes that come in after, those mail-in votes that come in after November the 3rd, must be segregated. Why? Because they've already suggested that that's a violation of the federal law. You cannot extend the voting time for people to vote. I mean, the polls closed in Pennsylvania at 8 o'clock. That's it. You're done. You can't vote at 4 a.m. the next morning. You can't continue to vote for the rest of the week. You can't continue to vote now. So that is a real problem. The voters actually closed the election on November the 3rd. And whenever they continue to count them afterwards, that were not cast and received before, or certainly not postmarked before, those can't be counted.
Did the Pennsylvania case ever go before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes, it's there right now. In fact, over the weekend on Saturday, Justice Samuel Alito actually issued a – well, actually, it was on Friday, late afternoon. He issued a ruling, and it came to him – it came earlier, and they suggested, you need to segregate this. Then it came back, and what was clear is that many of these counties were refusing to segregate them. And Justice Alito, who is the justice over that particular area of the country, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where Pennsylvania is located, he issued an order. You need to segregate this, and he has ordered them from the U.S. Supreme Court to segregate any ballot that comes in after the 3rd of November.
Once you mix these ballots, Matt, there's no going back.
Yeah, that's a real problem. And in fact, what we do know is that in some situations, we've had a report of a postal worker who was ordered by his postmaster to backdate these. This actually occurred in Pennsylvania, and this is Erie, Pennsylvania. Postmaster Rob Weisenbach directed his co-workers to pick up ballots after Election Day and provide them to him. And they were also told that he was going to backdate the postmark. So that means that these ballots that come in after November the 3rd, they were actually putting a stamp on them as though they came in on November the 3rd, like they came in on time.
My. Matt, allegations of this backdating of ballots, a whistleblower has come. I understand also, as we take a look at Pennsylvania, that dead people are voting as well?
Oh, yeah, lots of dead people are voting in Pennsylvania. It is very concerning there. What you have in Pennsylvania is 840 were 101 years old or older. 39 lived through the Civil War. 45 were born in the 1800s. There's at least 21,000 dead people on the state of Pennsylvania's voter rolls, according to an amended lawsuit that was actually just filed last week, Thursday. And the lawsuit claims that Pennsylvania has failed to maintain their voter registration order, and in fact, they had been ordered some time ago by a court to actually do so, and they have refused to do it. So you've got literally people that go all the way back to the Civil War, people that were born in the 1800s. I mean, this is absolute insanity, and they're casting votes in Pennsylvania. I mean, these are criminal charges that need to be addressed.
I saw also a Western Journal story showing this Philadelphia Erie Counting Center and shows a woman, a volunteer, handling ballots all by herself in a basement lunchroom. It's like the basement cafeteria, and here, no accountability going on there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this goes back to Pennsylvania again. As of October 7, 2020, at least 9,212 registrants have been dead for at least 5 years. At least 1,900 registrants have been dead for at least 10 years, and at least 197 have been dead for at least 20 years. And that doesn't count the people that go all the way back, of course, to the Civil War in the 1800s. But this is why Pennsylvania, at the local levels of some of these Democratic places, cities, and precincts, are prohibiting anyone from the Trump or the Republican Party campaign from observing the vote as they're being counted. And that results in, frankly, irreparable harm. There are thousands of votes, no doubt, that are illegally cast in Pennsylvania, and in fact, maybe a couple of 100,000 because they didn't arrive in time.
Folks, we're going to pick up with this after the break. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel today. We're going to also learn what's happening in other states as the count continues. But keep in mind, folks, it's electors that determine the president, not the media. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has evolutionary science been useful to the world?
Chris, you'd be surprised. Evolutionists say that evolution undergirds all of biology, and yet no truly helpful discovery has come from evolution. It is true that many evolutionists have made amazing discoveries, but these are based on scientific observation of the way things are. How they originated is a different question. It seems to me that if evolution were really a theory of everything, as they claim, then it ought to be obvious. They shouldn't have to rely on silly evolutionary stories to make us believe it. Face it, evolution is unbelievable because it's simply not true. Most people are not gullible enough to think that a frog changed into a prince. Creation is a much better answer, and we learn that when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney, founder, and chairman of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, with us today on the program as we review what's taken place in the past several days. Matt, we're talking about Pennsylvania, one of those swing states, and one that was had many, many votes where President Trump was ahead over Joe Biden. This whole matter of vote fraud, I mean, it was not too long ago we just found out of other fraud that was had already been taking place in previous elections.
Yeah, and it was in Philadelphia, and this is former Philadelphia judge of elections. He pled guilty just less than 6 months ago, so it was this year, and he was convicted for his role in accepting bribes and casting fraudulent ballots and certifying false voting results during the 2014, 2015, and 2016 primary elections. So, you know, that is just part of this long-standing problematic vote fraud that you have in Pennsylvania. You know, in Wisconsin, and by the way, in Texas, even though Texas went for President Trump, we now know that one of the social workers has been criminally charged with 134 felony counts. This person could spend up to 10 years in prison. And this social worker was going to nursing homes and people with disabilities and without their knowledge or consent, getting them to sign forms that was ultimately voting without their knowledge and submitted all those votes and was found out. Unfortunately, I think that that is happening in many, many other places as well.
Folks, so we're talking about people who are mentally incapacitated to vote in this election, to have this individual going in, a Texas woman, charged now with 134 counts of election fraud, registering, allegedly, nursing home residents, not having the mental capacity to understand what's going on. The complaint says she took advantage of the residents by registering them to vote without their consent. It's horrible, man.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. And the law is very clear that only a certain people, like the person's guardian, is the only one that can work with them for that kind of information. So that's why each one of these is a felony charge. And each one, of course, is up to, a year or more in prison. If you go to Wisconsin, for example, there's 200,000 citizens that were exempted from voter ID rules by allowing them to claim that the COVID-19 pandemic caused them to be indefinitely confined.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy. They failed to purge 130,000 names that they were required to. The local election clerks were permitted, contrary to the state law, to cure ballots by filing missing addresses. The state statute in Wisconsin says that if you have any ballot that does not have a voter address or a witness on it, if it has a missing address or missing witness, that ballot, quote, may not be counted, close quote. That's from a Wisconsin statute. And they actually issued a directive. The Wisconsin's Election Commission in August issued a directive. If the witness signature and address is missing, your ballot will not be counted, close quote. But then in mid-October, just before the election, Wisconsin Election Commission's, contrary to state law, said, well, you can go ahead and fix those spoiled ballots, and you can find the missing signatures and other things and correct the ballot. And that the state law is pretty clear. The ballot cannot be counted. And so what we're seeing is these people go in and do all these mail-in ballots. They don't have a witness. They don't have the proper address. And that's how they're being calculated or counted. They should all be disqualified.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. And folks, I mean, we're just we're just skimming the top here off of what's been going on in states. I mean, what we see going on in Michigan, Matt, so egregious right now as well, such that even the legislature met in a joint hearing this past Saturday to talk about this that software glitch. You talked about the 6,000 votes in Antrim County that had been given to Joe Biden that were truly for President Trump, other inconsistencies happening in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and I may have mentioned Michigan in that last statement. It's actually your state. It's Wisconsin that has that particular situation. So your state, of course, that's a very close call as well.
Yes.
And these irregularities could, you know, flip it back over to President Trump. But yeah, you're right. With regards to Michigan, you have some of the same problems. And in fact, that's where you ultimately have this situation where you have the person being directed by the postmaster to change some of these votes. And you also have in Michigan around early in the morning about 130 some thousand or around their ballots were brought in for counting. These were people that didn't have any authorized presence, but they were just taking them out of the back of a pickup truck and bringing them in for being counted. That's why these places like Michigan and Pennsylvania don't want people to observe what's taking place.
Right.
I mean, that would raise the attention of anybody. In fact, an attorney did the same thing, found the same thing in Texas. Again, Texas went red, but they were trying. What they were trying to do in Texas is apparently what they're doing in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and other places, including even trying to do that in Nevada. But this attorney in Texas actually videotaped a person driving up at 4 a.m. in the morning, bringing suitcases and putting ballots in a red wagon and just trekking them in at 4 a.m. the day after the election. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, this is the governor of the state of Florida, he went to cast his vote, and he wasn't able to vote. Found out that somebody down in West Palm Beach actually forged his signature, changed his address, and already voted for him.
My.
He was able to get law enforcement involved and change it, and he was able to ultimately vote. But this is the governor of the state of Florida that somebody did this to.
Matt, this is all so outrageous, what we see taking place across this country. And I just received here within the last 2 hours from WND.com, the Great Lakes Justice Center has filed now a lawsuit in Detroit alleging election fraud in this race, and this is now in Michigan. Ballots were counted even though the voter's name did not appear in the official voter rolls. Election workers were ordered to not verify voter signature on absentee ballots, to backdate absentee ballots, and to process such ballots regardless of their validity. Election workers processed ballots that appeared after the election deadline, falsely reported that the ballots had been received prior to November 3rd. Another point, defendants used false information to process a ballot, such as using incorrect or false birthdays. Defendants coached voters to vote for Joe Biden in the Democratic Party. Election workers went to the voting booths with voters to watch them vote and coach them. Unsecured ballots arrived at the TCF Center loading garage, not in sealed ballot boxes, without any chain of custody, without envelopes. And then also defendants refused to record challenges to their processes and remove challengers from the site if they politely voiced a challenge. And Matt, this is a laundry list of what's happening. They're just in Detroit, and what, you know, if there is truth and integrity, why would they stop election observers from observing what's going on?
Well, that's why they're trying to stop election observers from observing that which is going on, because this is the biggest attempt to steal an election I've ever seen. And, you know, no matter who anyone votes for in any particular race, this must not happen, because this is at the very foundation of a free society. If we can't trust the voting process, and if they become rigged, that literally will destroy the entire republic. Look, we've sent observers all over the world in some of these countries to watch the votes as they're being cast so that people could have fair elections. And now this is what's happening in the United States of America. And with all of this going on, for the media to be so irresponsible, and I'm not saying all the media, WMD, Newsmax, they're not calling any election, but Fox and all the other, many of the mainstream media, they are, and then Joe Biden is going out pretending that he is the undisputed winner of the presidential election. With all of this going on, this is very, very concerning. You know, even Fox called Arizona with just a small percent, was it 1% voting?
Yes.
And now it looks like Arizona may well go to President Trump as the votes continue to be counted.
Yeah, matter of fact, there's, I think, only, oh, it's about a half percent in between their vote tallies here at this particular point. Somewhere about less than 18,000 votes separating them, and well, they're showing 98% of the ballot being counted at this point. But Fox was very quick to jump into the fray and to make their declaration with this. And I understand that the one who called this is a registered Democrat?
A registered Democrat and a Hillary Clinton supporter in the last presidential election, and they called it really early. But they don't call other states that clearly look like they are in the President Trump's campaign side. You know, we also have information that in Atlanta, Georgia, going back to what we talked about earlier about some of this voting problem, it's very, very disturbing what I've been hearing with regards to the computers that even the CIA have been using that was developed for tracking down terrorists, but ultimately switching, capable of switching votes. In Atlanta, Georgia, the Georgia's top election official is now dispatching a team to investigate after a ballot, quote, issue, close quote, was discovered in one of the counties most responsible for giving Vice President Biden the lead over President Trump. He hasn't revealed exactly what the issue is. He didn't announce it over the weekend, but he said that this ultimately could affect the outcome of that vote tally in that particular county. It sounds very similar to what's happened in the Atrium County that we mentioned early with the 6,000 votes that went to Biden but should have actually gone over to Trump, and they were eventually supposedly switched back over to Trump.
Matt, do we have any situations when there was a surge of votes for Biden that accidentally went to Trump? We've never seen that. It just goes the other way.
No, it always goes the other way. There's never anything that's going to Trump that has to be changed and goes to Biden. In fact, there's a report that just came out, a video of somebody in Nevada, and they were at a location where there was the polling place. And they showed video of pulling these ballots out of a trash can. Every one of them, except for one, was a President Trump vote. These were thrown in the trash can, and they went ballot after ballot after ballot, and they said they've gone through all of them, and they found one Biden vote, but the rest of them, I don't know how many hundred were in there, was for President Trump, thrown in a trash can at the polling place.
You mentioned Nevada, and Matt, in that same state, allegations that thousands of illegal votes were cast by those that were not residents of the state of Nevada. You've got a whistleblower. He says he was told to process ballots without signature verification.
Yeah, you know, this goes back to what President Trump warned about earlier this year, and the media said, oh, there's just no evidence of potential voter fraud with mail-in ballots. He warned that these mail-in ballots were ripe for fraud and that this was a Democratic ploy to ultimately steal the election. Now we can understand why Joe Biden didn't appear to be concerned about going out on the campaign trail.
Right.
He had some other plan that he was obviously cooking up.
Have you ever seen, folks, and we're going to take a break here, ever seen a presidential campaign where one candidate doesn't go out on the campaign trail? Unbelievable. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." Andrew Jackson said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces." These and over 2,000 other direct quotations revealing the godly heritage of America can now be found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, state constitutions, and court decisions. This reference tool is available for a donation of $22 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And again, folks, I remind you that it's electors that determine a president, not the media. The media did that this past Saturday, and the action that they took is totally wrong. Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Council. Matt, as we continue to review what's happening in so many different states, let's come back here to our home state of Wisconsin, because there were some allegations that voter turnout exceeded the number of voters. And, you know, the Wisconsin, was it the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did the review and fact finder and say, no, that's totally false, you know, pants on fire, that's not true. But tell us what you learned.
Yeah, now this is something, I'll tell you the actual date. This was November the 5th at 5:02 p.m. Eastern Time. We went to the Milwaukee and the state website. This is the state supervisor of elections website. We looked at Milwaukee, and they have all the different wards listed. And they've got them listed in terms of what their particular vote percentages were and so forth. So I'm going to just go from precinct voting ward 274 to 73, 272, 277. Let me just kind of give you the vote turnout. 202% in a precinct in the ward 274. The top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all of those seven counties exceeded more than 100% of the votes. And these were literally on their website. We didn't create it. We took a screenshot of it. Now, they have since, when that became talked about in public, they have since gone back and they've tried to readjust those numbers. But we have the screenshot, Jim, from the official secretary of the elections of Wisconsin, particularly for Milwaukee.
Matt, where do we go from here?
Well, here's where we go. We've got a number of lawsuits that have already been filed. Others will be filed. There's one pending at the United States Supreme Court. All those particular cases will be moving forward. I'm sure that there will be more than the current one in Pennsylvania with regards to segregating ballots before the Supreme Court. In Pennsylvania, it's not only about segregating the ballots. That is minimum. But the reason why they have to be segregated is because you can't extend, as you mentioned earlier, Tom Fitton, President Trump won by virtue of federal election law. You can't extend the time to vote like these particular states have done. That's number one. So that's going to take a number of weeks to get that resolved. Number two, in a number of these states, even including Pennsylvania, Georgia, other places, there's not only going to be a recount, but as I mentioned earlier, the Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania has already required an audit. Now, that is a more detailed overview of all of the different votes. That means that all of these votes will be audited, and it's not just going to be somebody watching someone counting, but they're going to have to go through each one of these votes to make sure that they were timely, that there's all the information, signatures, witnesses for anybody who did mail-in, et cetera. All of that will have to be done. And so that literally can change the landscape. Trump will win North Carolina. Georgia is close, but I think that with the recount and the other military ballots that are coming in, he has a good shot of winning in Georgia. He has a good shot of doing the same thing in Arizona as well, and in a few other places. Alaska, of course, is going to go for President Trump. So you've got he gets very close to the 270, and then you've got Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is going to be a big state. That's going to be a big swing state, and that's where you have all of these, frankly, when the polls closed Tuesday night, he was leading by 400,000 votes. 400,000. I don't know how in the world you make that up after the polls close. That means that there's a lot of these ballots, all of which are going to be challenged, that they are too late to be counted.
Matt, we know another issue is brewing right now with the who is going to be controlling the United States Senate. I mean, we're kind of deadlocked at this point right now. And again, we're going to look back at the state of Georgia that it appears that they're going to have a runoff election take place in the state of Georgia. But if they're going to use the same kind of software and the same techniques, woe be to those who want fair and honest election for this runoff.
Yeah, I think you have to go back to in-person voting. That will ultimately solve some of this, but that doesn't address the software problem. I mean, I've always been very concerned about this computerized voting software because it's so easy to ultimately change votes without even your knowledge to do so. So I think that that's a real issue that has to be visited. But I think at a minimum, you go back to in-person voting. In fact, when this wasn't a political partisan issue, when it wasn't the 2020 race and the Democrats were pushing this mail-in ballot, a bipartisan commission a few years ago, and this was actually under the Obama administration, said that mail-in ballots are fraught with fraud problems and that that is a real concern for future voting.
And so this issue is going to happen in the state of Georgia here at this time. And Matt, we know that if the Democratic Party takes control of the Senate, the House, and the presidency, there is this nation will never look the same again.
Oh, it'll never look the same. I mean, changing the president that drastically will ultimately really destroy this country. Biden's already come out with his statements that he said that the first week he's going to reinstate funding for abortion and reinstate funding for Planned Parenthood. He's going to want to issue a national mask, face covering mandate, and he's going to do a lot of other things that will literally tank this country. The president of Iran is already calling on him to reinstate the failed, dangerous Iran agreement and go back to the way it was before President Trump was in office. China will have free reign, and China is a huge threat to our freedom worldwide. And so this will never be the same. You know, the thing, though, is that the media predicted this blue wave, and the blue wave never materialized. In fact, we may be close to actually balancing out the House of Representatives. And remember, we were quite a spread difference with regards to the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And by the time the ballots are finished, I mean, we might right now. I just looked at some polls and for the congressional race in California, and a new female Republican candidate is winning with 98% of the ballots counted as the 37th congressional district, a member of the House against an incumbent Democratic candidate or person. So huge shifts are taking place in that respect in the U.S. House. And, of course, the Senate is going to be, in some of these places like Pennsylvania and some of these others, is going to be dependent upon President Trump's and the Republican Party campaign challenges, because if those late-arriving ballots are knocked out, for example, in Pennsylvania and other states, that not only affects the presidency, but it also affects some of the changes that happened with regards to some of the Senate votes.
And folks, keep in mind, we've got Lieutenant General McInerney also just describing this hammer scorecard. It's this pair of programs. initially designed for the CIA before being privatized by deep state players from the Obama administration, explaining that how they work, the hammer, this counterintelligence surveillance program used to spy on activities, and now here switching votes. What we've seen happening in Wisconsin, Michigan, all have been trademarks of a hammer and scorecard operation. This software issue, folks, certainly needs to be investigated thoroughly. And Matt, we see also here the headline that came forth, WND.com, the wife of the Fox News heir goes public after Fox declared Biden the winner. This is Catherine Murdoch declaring, quote, "We did it."
Yeah, yeah. So that tells you where Fox News is. They've never really, in terms of their leadership, they've never really been conservative. We have obviously some good conservative individuals there, but, you know, Judge Jeanine, she just got censored on Fox. People are literally leaving Fox for news sources like Newsmax, and right now Parler is getting 1 million new subscribers a day, 1,000 people per hour jumping because of this censorship that people are experiencing on Facebook and Twitter. People are tired of that kind of censorship. So I think, you know, the bottom line here, Jim, for people is continue to pray, and obviously we're going to continue to keep people apprised. You will as well, of course, and this is far from over. It's far from over. So use your voices wherever you can to get that message across. This is far from over. There is no declared winner in the presidential race at this point.
I think that's something that we need to take before the listeners as well.
We do, and this will be a huge issue before the Supreme Court, and I don't think this will be the only case before the Supreme Court, but that one certainly is pending there now, and that's regarding segregating the ballots, but eventually it's going to be whether these ballots should even be counted, and that is the biggest issue, and I don't think they should be counted. I don't think there's any basis to change the federal election date. This is federal election law, and you can't just have a state unilaterally saying we're going to extend it for however many days afterward, and we'll take your ballots for however long they take to come in. It just doesn't work that way.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Their website is lc.org, lc.org. Matt, I see that the Attorney General of Utah has taken a personal leave to go help the Trump campaign.
Yeah, they are doing that. And, you know, some of these particular states are really problematic, where they've really been used and the voters have been duped, and it's been something that has been pulled over the entire country. I think, frankly, everyone is concerned. I know people I talk to, they're upset, they're mad, as we should be. I mean, this is the United States of America. We look like a laughingstock in front of the world with regards to we can't even vote for president and have it fair and transparent. I mean, I've never seen anything where they're defying a state court order to allow an observer. They don't allow anybody up there in Pennsylvania to get close enough to observe these ballots. And going to that software that you talked about, there was a chilling statement by, and this individual was the number third guy in the U.S. Navy. He was a high-ranking Navy official, and he was talking about this hammer software, and he was making statements before the election that it's going to look like Trump, you know, using the software, if it's deployed, be the first time it's deployed against U.S. citizens by the CIA, which is illegal because the CIA doesn't have jurisdiction over domestic affairs. But that's who has that software. And that, in fact, it'll look like President Trump is winning, but then the computer will ultimately change the vote. And guess what happened? That's exactly what we saw.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. The final segment being your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. So stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Matt Staver from Liberty Council with us. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Last Wednesday, after the election, we interviewed retired three-star general, General McInerney. Also, we interviewed author and researcher Mary Fanning. What we learned about was the hammer, the scorecard. We were the first national network of affiliate stations to broadcast this. What we learned is that in 2003, a piece of software was developed on the military side by Dennis Montgomery to keep America safe and to surveil our enemies. But reportedly in 2009, the Obama administration took this software and began to utilize it as a political tool for blackmail and to gain information on, well, lots of people, including elected officials and members of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it could also be used to turn an election. Full details with articles at worldviewtimes.com.
Oh, friends, it's time we hearken back to what one of the founders said, John Adams, reminding us our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, wholly inadequate for any other. And let's go to the phone lines here. We've got Joe calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Joe.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to know if you have a website that keeps track of the examples of election fraud. I've had several friends, Democratic supporters, confront me asking, are there any specific events that you know of? Of course, I'm not going to know, but I know that the investigators will know. Do you have anything that you can share with us? I'll take your answer off the air.
Great, thank you.
Yes, I do, and I'm trying to find the particular one, but there is a particular website that is cataloging a number of these. I don't have it right in front of me as I'm speaking, but I will try to find that. And if I'm not able to find it before we get off the air, you can call Liberty Council office or VCY. We'll get that to you. The Liberty Council office will be 407-875-1776. But I will look for that while the program continues.
Great.
I do have it, however.
Okay. Again, folks, Liberty Council phone number 407-875-1776. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I will pray for one man, and that man is Joseph Biden, that the truth should set him free, and he may exit the public stage with what little dignity he has left before he is tagged as the world's biggest liar.
Thank you for your thoughts. Terry in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, without the Supreme Court ordering the electors that they don't have to go for the state who went for a particular candidate, they can break any way they want, or them doing it on their own. The only way they're going to know for sure in the wards that had looked like something went strange, if the Supreme Court would order those wards to re-vote. And if nothing was goofy, you should come up with the same numbers, Republican and Democrat. But if you don't come up with the same numbers, if one side gains and the other side loses, and one side stole some votes, and now by voting in person, the true side got them back. Can the Supreme Court order that in certain wards that they re-vote?
Matt?
Well, yeah, I agree. In some of these cases, it may require a complete re-vote. Now, whether that will be the ultimate remedy ordered, or whether or not, you know, you wouldn't even really need a re-vote if they ultimately ruled, like, for example, in Pennsylvania, that any of these ballots that arrived after November the 3rd are just not counted, period.
Yeah. And again, that we're harking back to what Tom Fitton said. The election, you know, the election was decided on the election night.
Right. Then it's over at that point in time.
Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I have two questions and a comment. My daughter voted in Nevada, and she said that she was not required to have a voter ID or, you know, a driver's license to show that she could vote. And then my question is, are we able to check, go online and check, for those of us who voted in person, to go online and check and see if our vote counted for who we voted for? And then the last question is, what can we do about photo ID and, you know, to fix this problem and so it doesn't happen again, like in the future? What can be done? Like maybe everyone have a photo ID, a driver's license when they vote, but then it's connected to our Social Security number, and then perhaps we can go to, you know...
Thank you, Julie.
I get you. No, I think what you're saying there, I've heard that in many other places as well. In fact, I also know people who have been mailed ballots three times, three mm-hmm. individuals.
Yeah.
Three ballots to the same person in the same household, ballots received in the same household for people who have died, people who vote that don't have ID and they're allowed to vote. All of that can be remedied on a national level, and I think we ought to have the requirement that you have to give a proof of identity.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do that to get a Curious George book from the library.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to do that to get rid of used waste motor oil at our dump center here to show a photo ID, to get a Sudafed prescription or something from the pharmacy. You got to show photo ID. And yet there is a great angst coming against those who would want such a requirement there, but the integrity of the vote. I mean, Matt, we've even seen under the Obama administration, I believe it was getting in the Department of Justice, you had to show a photo ID to get into that Department of Justice.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, photo IDs are, you know, obviously we're all familiar with them and understand the importance of them. And the only ones that are pushing back are the Democratic leadership. Why? Because they want people to be able to vote who are not legal. You're pretty simple. That's it.
Mark and Monroe, you're on the air.
My comment is this: as much as I see the presidential vote in at large here, I also see this major attempt by the diabolical liberal left to also use this to take advantage of the Senate and the House. And what I mean by that is they not only will try to disavow Trump's election, but they'll also try to use this as an opportunity to use this as to advance the Senate and the House the same way, and then ultimately blame Trump because he protested it to be a sore loser, and then also take advantage to blame him for if it is possible that the Senate and House would also take it, end up taking advantage of it.
Thank you, Mark. And we're going to squeeze one more call in. Ann in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yeah, it was the first time I went to vote in person, and I wanted to bring up something. They insisted I use their pin, and it was a Sharpie. And I wanted to ask if anyone's had any, you know, thoughts yeah. about the fact that a Sharpie could be programmed so that any Sharpie that had voted President Trump in would be discounted or flipped.
Thank you, Ann, for that. Matt, I know that's another big controversy.
That's another, yeah, that's happened in other places where the Sharpie is not actually showing up. And so people wanted to use their own pins, and they were being yelled at and chased out of there for wanting to use pins that actually are the best way to ensure that this is not going to be changed.
Thank you for the call here, Ann. We've run out of time. You can be in contact with Liberty Council 407-875-1776. Matt, thank you for being with us and staying on top on this very critical issue.
Well, thank you, Jim. And by the way, I do have that website, so if people want to call Liberty Council or VCY, you can get that list, the voter issues.
Great. Okay. Again, the number there, 407-875-1776. Folks, stay in prayer. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.